Good morning, everyone. You know, I was hoping that Bernard would come up, and you know, I was just standing there waiting for somebody else to come up here. Because this morning, when we were driving to church here, I think it was only the Lord and myself knew what I'm going to say this morning. But I think as I walked up here, I think it's only the Lord knows what I'm going to say. And when Anthony was talking about the collection, you know, I've got three sermons here. You know, the one is a $1,000 sermon, the one is a $500, and the other one is a $100. The $1,000 one is 5 minutes, the $500 one is 15, and the $100 one is an hour. So can we take up the collection now? You know, as you look at some scripture, then, you know, you think it's so simple, you know, and I just wanted to share with you two simple verses, and as you go deeper into them, then you realize, you know, there's more to it than just the simple verse, and I will, you know, read three verses to you, but I will only talk about the first two from John 14, verse 15 to 17, and you've heard this many, many times before. If we can read from John 14, verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Let me just pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we don't take it lightly, Lord. We know that it is the truth, it is life. And Lord, it teaches us about life, and we just thank you for that, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit will really just enlighten us this morning, Lord, what these verses mean. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I read the first verse, if you just look at the first verse there, 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commands." Then, you know, the first thing that comes up to me, okay, what are the commands? You know, some of us may even say, you know, tell me what the commands are, then I will obey them. And some may say, it must be the, you know, the Ten Commandments or something. But if we look in the New Testament, how many commands Jesus gave his disciples and those that were listening, it's more than 50 specific commands he gave his disciples and those that were listening to them, and you say, okay, what are they? You know, and I'm not going to go through the 50 commands that Jesus said. I just want to, just to get a taste of it, I just want to read four to you, and then later, I just want to look at one of these commands a little bit more in detail. But yeah, let us look at the first one. It's the one that he wears, which I call the "Let Your Light Shine." And it's in Matthew 5. It says, "Let your light shine, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let your light so shine. That's what Jesus commands us. He commands us to do that. Another one is "Be reconciled. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift." As we give our gift of praise, worship, the Lord says, you know, if you have something against your brother or your brother has got something against you, go and be reconciled. Another one is called, called "They Love Your Enemies." But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And then the fourth one, and there, like I say, there are about 50, you know, of this type of what Jesus is saying to us. Making disciples, the Lord said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you to do. I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If we want to be the feet of Christ, if we want to be the ambassadors of Jesus, then, you know, I suppose we need to know what his commands are, and we need to obey them. You know, as he says, if you love me, keep my commands. And, you know, in normal business, often when the business looks where it wants to go, you know, a vision is, you know, you can see that in companies sometimes, you see they've got a vision on the wall there. Then they make plans or strategies. How are they going to achieve that, you know, that vision? But without action, without actually executing, you know, your vision and your plans are, to put it plainly, they're pretty useless. You know, you have to act. You have to do something. You know, I've often seen, you know, either in a shop or in a business or in a government institution, you go in and there's a banner that says, our vision is to be the most effective department in Namibia or the most effective business. And very often you will read there, our customers are our first priority, you know, and often you have to then sit down and wait for an hour to be served because only two of the eight have got people there to help you. So when you see that, then you won't believe what's on the wall there unless you actually see the action and experience the results. So why am I saying these things? I want to stress that this verse that says, if you love me, keep my commandments, talks about action. It does not talk about sitting and making plans. It talks about, if you love me, obey my commands. You know, I think if I've got it right in German, you know, a verb, sometimes also they call it a Tuwort, you know, a doing word. You do it. You know, so obeying and keeping is a doing action. So, you know, it talks about action. And we can even, you know, I can have in my office on my wall, I love the Lord and the Lord Jesus is first in my life, and I can have all kinds of stickers on my car and even pray to the Lord and say, I love you, Lord. And when I read this verse, he will say, if you love me, keep my commands, obey my commands. So my first point that I would like to make, you know, is without going into action, our visions and our plans of loving God are of no use. Okay, I mean, the Lord has, I think he re-emphasizes that even in this same chapter 14, if you just go on a few verses in verse 21 and verse 23 and verse 24, he says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Whoever has my commands and keeps them. And then in 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. And in verse 24, which is the next verse, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. So just the fact that Jesus re-emphasized this action, emphasizing doing. You know, it's not It's not about coming just and saying, you know, having a sticker on your wall or saying, I love the Lord. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. He desires action. And I think in James chapter 2 actually also says this very plainly. You know, when you talk about faith and deeds, James chapter 2 verse 18 says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. So my show me your love, you know, by how you're keeping my commandments. You believe there is there's one God. Good, even the demons believe that and shudder. And look at this. You foolish person. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Do you want evidence that love without obeying is useless? I'm just, you know, trying to find the parallel there. Now, if you're anything like myself, I mean, I'm the one talking up here at the moment, but I also daily, you know, feel that I don't make it, you know. I either in attitude or in heart or in an action or the lack of action. In many ways, you know, I miss the mark, and that's why I'm preaching about this morning, you know, to say, do I love the Lord? You know, and he says, if you love me, keep my commands. And we might feel, you know, and some of you might feel the same, that, but I'm not making it always, and this is a bit too hard. And the thing is, can we keep the commandments that Jesus gave us? Is it possible? You know, is the question that might be in your mind. And, you know, the apostles, you might think, you know, they were out there, they were performing miracles, and they saw, you know, crippled people rising up, and yet, you know, when you go to Romans 7 and you see what Paul says there, you think, oh, so he also struggled with that. He says in Romans 7 verse 21, he says, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. And then this comment, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? I'm going to leave the last verse of that little passage there. I'll come to it later. But, you know, you see that expression there, and then you ask, now, is it then possible to do what the Lord commands? And if we look at that verse, if you love me, keep my commands. The first thing we should notice is that loving Jesus is not the same as keeping his commands. Okay? It precedes. On the one hand, you say, if you love me, you know, keep my commands. Now, that's the one way of looking at this. So keeping his word is as a result of loving him. It's not the same as loving him. So you can't say, I just do things, and so that is, then I can prove to the Lord that I love him. And I changed that verse 15 a little bit. Just put something into it in brackets. You could read it as maybe as follows and say, if you love me, the Lord says, if you love me, the result will be that you will keep my commandments or keep my commands. In verse 23, you can put it that way as well. If anyone loves me, the result will be that he will keep my word. So loving and keeping his commands, I actually want to now say, is maybe two sides of the same coin. And that's my second point, you know. Loving and keeping his commands are two sides of the same coin. You can't separate them. You know, when a coin is stamped with the heads and the tails, that stamping on it is done at the same time. You know, it gets wham, and it's got one side of the head, the other side of the sails. And I think this is something similar over here, that as we love him, so we keep his commands. As we keep his commands, so we love him. You know, it's almost like something like that. So I think we cannot separate them. You know, I mean, the Lord says, you know, if you say that you love God, but you hate your brother, then you're a liar. You know, and so it has to flow out. If we are born again, you know, and we say we love the Lord, then I think we must say, then do my actions, do I keep his commands? Does that flow out of me? Now, I still leave that question there about, is it possible? You know, is it possible? But I'll get there. And that's what I think, you know, you cannot stop at verse 15, which says, if you love me, keep my commands. Because verse 16 actually starts with the word and. It's almost like it hasn't stopped yet. Okay. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And this is where I almost think there's a third side to this coin. I don't know what a three-sided coin looks like, but it almost says to me that if we love him and as a result keep his commands, he will ask the Father to give us the Holy Spirit. And I think the third side of the coin is, and that the third point is, we cannot keep his commands without the help of the Holy Spirit. You know, and if we say that we are filled with the Holy Spirit and love the Lord, but do not keep his commands, it's not possible. I say we must. How can we keep his commands if we are not filled with the Holy Spirit? It's the other side of the coin. You know, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to obey his commands. And I think this is a question we just need to ask ourselves. Where do we stand? Are we born again? Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Otherwise, if you try and do these commands in your own strength, you will become frustrated. You'll become disillusioned. You always have a sense of failure. You know, I can't do it. But we must remember where our strength comes from. And that's why in that I read to you what Paul was saying, you know, what a wretched man I am. You know, and I'm in this body that is subject to death. And then he says in that next verse, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is, thanks be to God who delivers me from this battle that I have. And that is by where he says, and I will give you the Holy Spirit who will be with you always. You know, I looked at John 15 as I was just reading, and I was actually reading this passage sometime this week, early in this week, you know, and with my wife, and I was looking at this John 15 verse 5, you know, and it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I can almost say, he who loves me and I in him, is filled with the Holy Spirit, bears much fruit, keeps my commands, for without me you can do nothing. Now I'm just putting these words there as I was looking through the scripture and this part of the Bible. You know, it doesn't say there that we can, without him we can't do great things. It says without him we can do nothing. Nothing that is pleasing and fruitful to God, and neither profitable to ourselves. You have to be saved. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to love the Lord and obey His commandments. Now, I wanted to, you know, I put to you some of the commandments that that Jesus gave His disciples, and one of them, the last one that I had on the board, they said it's from Matthew 28. It was actually one of the last commandments that Jesus gave His disciples. You know, He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And I was just thinking, where have I been this week, last week? You know, I was in Windhoek attending a meeting with a lot of mining people and exploration people and so on, and I think, okay, go therefore and make disciples. You know, you can be a witness wherever you are. Where does it start? It starts right here, you know, right in our families, in our work, so that we can say, you know, that if we are saved, filled with the Spirit, that we can say like Paul, you know, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Isn't that something that we desire, that we can say to our children, say to our family, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And as I said, you know, I'm talking on the subject because it just, as I was just reading it, you know, and you say, okay, I want to talk about this, and it becomes broader and broader, and it actually has so much so much life in it, that it really, you know, says, this is great, you know. If I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord says He's with me always, you know, even to the end of the age. And what we see from this commandment even, I mean, He doesn't only give us a command and say, okay, now you see how you can do this. He says, "I am with you always." So, His permanent presence with us, as we are sent, as we go and keep His commands, He says, His permanent presence is with us. "I am with you always." You know, and when you think back, maybe I was thinking back on when I grew up in Windhoek, and we had we were staying on my grandfather's, he had a big 1 hectare yard there, and actually there where the Russian embassy is now, that's exactly where his house was. And we stayed, my father, mother, and us three children, we stayed in a little, it was an asbestos house, a little bit up the hill there. It was very, very small, and it didn't have a toilet, okay? And the toilet was down at next to my grandfather's house. It was about 300 meters away. You had to walk down a little bridge and then walk to this toilet, and there was no light in the toilet. So you had to take a torch, and you know, at night, and then walk down there, and then all these trees, and you kind of see things, you think there are things, and you know, so you're quite aware of everything. And but you know, when my father went with, it just didn't feel, there was nothing to be scared about. You know, it was like, oh, now suddenly these trees, they don't have these figures and shadows, and you think there's something here, and you know, and that is the Lord promises, you know, that He is with us, He's in us, and then that's the way, you know, I can just say that when we feel maybe a bit nervous, a bit discouraged or overwhelmed, the Lord promises that He's with us. We do not have to be scared. And I even coming up here and preaching is a bit of a bit nervous for me. But you know, it's the privilege that we have that the Lord is with us. He says, I will be with you always. And actually, when just in the beginning of Acts, when Jesus actually sent his disciples, he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which is very similar to this commandment, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So he says, secondly, he says, you know, his inexhaustible power, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God will come upon us and we will be witnesses. So the one that has created the universe, the one that keeps the planets on its paths and the stars in their place, he says, you will receive power and the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So we must remember that our strength comes from him. And remember the promise that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It must have been quite, you know, when Jesus said to the disciples, you will be witnesses in Jerusalem. I say, okay, Jerusalem, Judea. Okay, that's fine. And then he says, Samaria. Ooh. No, but we don't really, Samaritans, you know, it's not really the people that we mingle so much with. And then he says, to the ends of the earth. The Gentiles as well, you know. But what we see is that those disciples went into action. You know, they did not say, we love you, Lord, and sat in the upper room and stayed there. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, they went into action. If you love me, keep my commands. So if we are sent in this commandment that Jesus gives to us, go into all the world. You know, maybe we need to put little stickers on our mirror in the morning and in our car and at our work saying, I am sent and he is with me, so that we can really be witnesses to the ends of the earth. You know, we were talking for the last few weeks about the feet of Jesus. How can we be the feet of Jesus? And I just thought that this morning, you know, if we want to be the feet of Jesus, we have to move into action. You know, we can't just say, Lord, we love you. We come Sunday to church and we praise you and we tell you that we love you. We have to move into action when we are out there so that we are his disciples. So I just want to end off to say, you know, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because that's, you know, the first prerogative in this, or what you're the first thing that must be in place. And have you been filled with the Spirit of God? You know, that you can obey his commandments. If you're trying to do it on your own, if you're trying to do it in your own strength, I think you will find that, Lord, this is too hard. This is just too hard. You know, so I want to just end off in prayer. But I want to, you know, if there's anyone that wants to pray with me or with others. You know, just this is such an important thing. I think, you know, if we say so much, Lord, we love you. You are our everything. But he says, if you love me, keep my commands. You know, and he wants us to be fruitful. He says he wants us to be like a tree next to the river, bearing fruit. You know, as we interact with people in the week, as we interact with our family, as we interact with. We must not say that we love him and then we disobey him. He says, no, then you do not love me. So let us end off in prayer. And if anybody wants to, you know, come and pray with me, please come after we're finished. Lord, what a What an awesome privilege it is to be called your children, to be called the son and the daughter of the living God. Lord, you have made it possible, Lord, that we can be called children of the living God, and that we, Lord, you've not left us on our own. Lord, you have given us your Spirit, and Lord, we know that it is you want us to keep your commands, because you've said so, Lord. And Father, we know that it is so exciting, Lord, to bear fruit, to see people to come to know you, Lord. And we just want to pray this morning, Lord, that we will not sit, Lord, but we will go into action, Lord, action to spread the good news, Lord, to reconcile, to go out and be the people that you want us to be, Lord. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of your word, for the privilege of just having your word and your presence with us, Lord. We just thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen.